Welcome, Discovery Rangers. Today we will be exploring Cooking with Science, the magic behind your favourite foods, a podcast for kids.
You know, it's funny, isn't it? We take these raw ingredients, things like eggs and flour and whatnot, and somehow, through some sort of culinary alchemy, we turn them into something delicious.
It really is incredible when you think about it that way.
And that's what we're diving into today. The science behind the magic, with a little help from our friend, Cooking with Science.
Because cooking really is as much about science as it is about art, isn't it?
Absolutely. There's a whole lot happening beneath the surface. And speaking of looking deeper, our source talks about these culinary rock stars like, Ferran Adrià,
yeah, and Heston Blumenthal.
Right. These weren't just chefs. They were like culinary revolutionaries. So what was so different about what they were doing?
Adrià in particular, I mean, he really turned the culinary world on its head. His restaurant, El Bulli, it was legendary.
Yeah, I've heard the name.
Imagine a restaurant that's more like an art gallery.
Mm.
Food as exhibits.
Yeah.
Know, blurring the lines between like what's a meal and what's a work of art.
Wow. I mean, I knew El Bulli was supposed to be innovative, but I never thought about it like that. That's next level for sure. So how did their style, you know, this artistic approach, differ from, say, classic French cuisine that was the gold standard for so long?
Yeah, it's a really interesting comparison because French cuisine, it's all about tradition.
Mm.
It's about perfecting techniques that have been passed down for generations.
Right.
But molecular gastronomy, which is what Adrià and Blumenthal were doing, well, they wanted to break free from those rules, embrace science, to deconstruct familiar dishes, then reimagine them.
Kind of like being fluent in a language and then deciding, hey, I'm going to go invent a whole new dialect.
Exactly.
So what were some of the scientific principles they were using to make this culinary magic happen?
Well, one of the most important is the Maillard reaction. It's what gives us that beautiful brown crust when we sear a steak. Or the caramelization on roasted vegetables.
Okay, I get the concept, but what's actually going on there, like at a chemical level?
So basically, when you applied high heat to food, to certain sugars and amino acids, they react. And they create hundreds of new flavor and aroma compounds.
So it's not just about making it look good.
No, it's about flavor, creating these complex savory notes. Think about the difference between a boiled potato and a roasted one.
Oh, yeah. Totally different.
Right. That depth of flavor in the roasted potato, that's the Maillard reaction.
That makes me think of, like, the smell of bread baking.
Exactly. That's the Maillard reaction at work, too. Toasting bread, brewing coffee, grilling vegetables. It's everywhere.
So it's not just for fancy chefs. It's happening in our kitchens every day. It's amazing how you like learn even a little bit of the science and you start to appreciate all these things so much more. Now, there were all these other terms they were throwing around too. Denaturation, emulsification. Those always sounded intimidating to me.
They do sound complicated, right? Mm. But they're actually pretty straightforward. Think about what happens when you cook an egg. The heat, it causes the proteins in the egg white to uncoil and then link together. And that's how it goes from a runny liquid to that solid white. That's denaturation and coagulation in action.
Wow. I never realized that's what was happening. And so that's why, like, meat firms up when you cook it, too.
Exactly. It's the heat changing the structure of the proteins.
Huh. And then there's emulsification, which is what gives us creamy sauces and dressings, right?
Yes.
Because oil and water, they don't usually mix.
Exactly. Emulsification is how we force them to get along. So an emulsifier, like egg yolks in mayonnaise, for example, helps create a stable mixture where tiny droplets of one liquid are suspended in the other.
It's really amazing how we can use science to manipulate ingredients like that. I mean, we've got these basic principles and then all these innovative techniques, but how does this actually translate to what we do in our own kitchens every day?
And that's where things get really exciting. We're going to dive in some specific techniques, traditional and modern, that really highlight that beautiful marriage of science and cooking.
Okay. I am ready to get technical. Let's do it. So it's wild to think about, like, people have been cooking for, what, millennia? And using these techniques that now we understand are rooted in science.
Yeah, it's pretty.
So let's break down some of those techniques, starting with the classics.
Okay, sure.
Like braising. I feel like braising is one of those things that just screams like science and tradition working together in perfect harmony.
Yeah, it's a great example.
So from a scientific point of view, what makes braising so special?
Well, it's really a two-step process. So first, you sear the meat at a high temperature.
Right, get that good crust.
Exactly. And that triggers the Maillard reaction, mm-hmm. creates those delicious savory notes we were talking about.
Yes.
And then you lower the heat and you simmer the meat slowly in liquid. And that's what breaks down the tough connective tissues, gives you that, you know, fall apart tender texture.
So it's like a 1-2 punch of flavor and texture. And it's all thanks to science. What about marinating? I feel like that's another one that people do, but maybe don't fully understand the why behind it.
Yeah, it's true. A lot of people think of marinades as just for flavor.
Right.
But it's more than that. It's about breaking down those proteins. So the acids in marinades, like citrus juice, vinegar, they actually help to tenderize the meat.
So like the acids are these little tenderizing agents.
Exactly.
Huh. It's fascinating.
Okay.
So speaking of fascinating, let's get into some of the more modern techniques. Our source mentions sous vide cooking, and I'll admit that one always seemed a little intimidating to me. What's the deal with cooking food in a water bath?
Well, sous vide is all about precision. So you vacuum seal the food and you cook it in a temperature controlled water bath. And what that does is it allows you to achieve like incredibly consistent results.
Oh, I see.
No more guessing if your chicken is cooked through or if your steak is medium rare.
Right, right.
You set the exact temperature you want and the water bath maintains it perfectly.
So you're taking the guesswork out of it. Perfect doneness every time.
Exactly.
That is a game changer. Especially for those of us who maybe have overcooked a chicken breast or two in our day.
We've all been there.
We've all been there. Okay, but what about like even more out there stuff? Our source mentions things like spherification, even meat glue. It sounds like something out of a science fiction movie.
Yeah, those techniques are definitely on the more adventurous side of things.
So how does something like spherification even work? Give me the breakdown.
Okay, so imagine like a burst of flavor exploding in your mouth.
Yeah.
That's spherification.
Okay.
So let's say you want to make little spheres of balsamic vinegar, right?
Okay. Yeah, I'm with you.
You'd mix the vinegar with something called sodium alginate. It's a natural gelling agent that comes from seaweed.
Seaweed. Okay.
Yeah. And then you drop tiny droplets of this mixture into a bath of calcium chloride.
Hold on, calcium chloride, isn't that what they use to de-ice roads in the winter?
The very same. It's amazing, right? Science is everywhere.
That's wild.
But yeah, so the calcium ions from the calcium chloride, they interact with the alginate. And that causes it to form a thin gel membrane around each little vinegar droplet.
Huh.
And the result is these perfect little spheres of balsamic vinegar that burst in your mouth.
That's incredible. But it sounds really complicated. Like, is that even possible for, you know, a home cook to do?
It definitely takes some specialized ingredients.
Yeah.
And a bit of practice. But it's becoming more and more accessible, even for home cooks. There are kits you can buy online, cookbooks that are dedicated to these kinds of techniques.
So you don't need a lab coat and a chemistry degree to experiment with this stuff?
Not anymore.
That's awesome. It's really cool that it's becoming more mainstream. But okay, let's bring it back down to earth a little bit. Our source mentions something called flavor affinity. What exactly is that?
So flavor affinity is the science behind why some ingredients just taste so good together.
Hmm.
Like tomatoes and basil. They're a classic pairing, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And it's not just because someone decided they taste good together. They actually share certain aroma compounds that create this flavor synergy.
Kind of like how peanut butter and jelly are a match made in heaven.
Exactly. And understanding those underlying principles, it can help us to become more intuitive cooks, to experiment with new flavor pairings and create our own signature dishes.
That's like having a secret weapon in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got these fundamental scientific principles, these innovative techniques. What comes next?
Well, even with all the knowledge in the world, you still need the right tools for the job.
Right.
So next up, we're going to dive into the essential equipment. From the humble spatula to the high-tech gadgets, we're going to talk about the tools of the trade and why they matter.
I'm ready to gear up. Let's do it. So we've been talking about all the science behind cooking, all these amazing techniques. But at the end of the day, you need the right tools to make it all happen.
You're telling me, give a chef a dull knife.
Exactly. So, you know, we could talk about fancy gadgets all day. But what are some of the essentials? The workhorse tools that every cook needs in their kitchen.
Well, you don't need a high-tech lab to cook with science, that's for sure. Sometimes the most basic tools are the most important, like a good saute pan. It's a true kitchen workhorse.
Okay, so I use my saute pan all the time, but what makes it so special? Like, what's the science behind a good saute pan?
Heat distribution. It's all about how evenly the pan heats up.
Right.
A well-made saute pan, it'll have a nice thick base.
Yeah.
So the heat is distributed evenly. No hot spots, no burning. And that's important for everything. You know, searing meat, making a pan sauce.
So it's worth it to invest in a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now what about all those other tools we use while we're cooking? Like spatulas, whisks, wooden spoons. Those seem pretty basic, but I guess they matter too.
They're like extensions of our hands, right?
Yeah.
Each one designed to do something specific. Understanding those little differences, how to use each tool, that's what makes a difference.
Having the right tool for the job. And speaking of which, our source mentions food thermometers, which, I'll be honest, I don't use as often as I probably should.
I get it. But honestly, a good thermometer, it's a lifesaver in the kitchen.
For safety, yeah, but also for making sure things are cooked perfectly.
Okay, that makes sense.
Think about, like, a steak. If you want it medium rare, it needs to be 135 degrees. How else you're gonna know?
Yeah, I've definitely cut into my fair share of steaks, only to find out, nope. Not even close.
Exactly.
And then baking, too. I mean, that's all about precision.
Oh, yeah. Baking is practically chemistry. You need a thermometer for that, for sure.
So we've covered a lot of ground here. History, science, techniques, tools. But I do want to address something. Cooking with science sounds great, but honestly, it can be a little intimidating.
I get that. It's easy to get overwhelmed.
Right. Like, do I need to be a scientist to make dinner? Our source even talks about some of the potential downsides of this approach. Yeah, there can be a learning curve, that's for sure. And for some people, it's easy to get bogged down in the details.
Mm.
But the most important thing is to remember to have fun. Don't be afraid to experiment. Some of the best dishes happen by accident.
That's a good point. Finding that balance, right? Like, we don't need to become culinary scientists overnight, but a little bit of knowledge can be a powerful thing.
100%. It's not about limiting your creativity. It's about expanding it. When you understand why things work the way they do, you can be more creative.
So it's like having a secret language, a deeper understanding of how the magic happens. This has been so fascinating, and I hope our listeners are feeling inspired to get in the kitchen and experiment. Who knew there was so much science behind our favorite foods?
Thanks for listening, Discovery Rangers. If you enjoyed this, please ask Mum or Dad to play another episode for you.